Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
This is Tough Like Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Bow, bow, bow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's the Friday morning episode. You get it on Thursday evening if you're an IFS subscriber. And why wouldn't you be? Also, this is a one that we've recorded in video, in vision. So you can watch us doing whatever it is that we do. As a bonus, when I say pow, 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 you get a kind of a hand gesture, which has got an element of menace to it, I think.
Yeah.
That's a bonus thing thrown in on the video. Yeah, so here we are in vision and in audio, depending on what your preference is. Can I just begin, Sam? I just begin by saying that today, I know we've got the Just Rest lifestyle that we aspire to on this podcast and have done for a long, long time. Today, I feel as though I've taken Just Rest to the maximum.
Oh, let's hear it.
I've had a day which I've described to myself as retirement cosplay.
Ho, ho, ho. Yes, very good.
I'll talk you through it.
Go on.
Element by element. Right. Mm. Starts off, this day has been completely child-free. I should stay from the very beginning. That's an important part of retirement.
A great start, A great start to any day.
My daughter is off at university. Fuck knows where. My son was at his mum's last night.
Yeah.
So I had the place to myself for the whole day until about 3:30 when it all went tits up. Started off with a bit of a lie-in.
Lovely.
That meant got out of bed about 10 a.m. And a bit of breakfast, a cup of tea, all that.
That's the gentleman's hour, I call it, 10 a.m.
I like to think it is, Watched part two of the excellent Steve Martin two-part documentary that's on Apple TV at the minute.
Thoroughly recommend it. Yeah.
It's joyous. If you've got any kind of love for Steve Martin at all, you'll just be wallowing in it. It's brilliant. Watched part two of that, which took up 90 minutes or so. Had a couple of ham sandwiches for me dinner.
Lovely touch.
I read a little bit of a new book about Dexys Midnight Runners.
Interesting.
Which I've been sent an advanced copy of. It was written by a friend of mine called Nige Tassel.
Oh, yeah, Nige Tassel. Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Yeah, it's he basically tracks down all the former members of Dexys Midnight Runners and tries to get their side of the story about being in.
So Kev's not in it. It's the others. You get their side. So
I think it's fair to say that Kevin Rowland declined the opportunity to talk, but he's gone to try and track down. Because, I mean, the group's had so many different members over the years. It covers 97
years. I guess it's similar to The Fall, in that there was one charismatic sort of front man and an ever-changing band, partly linked to their, what would you call it, volatile personalities.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. There was a book as well, I think, which tracked down all members of The Fall. I think it was inspired by that. But Dexys, of course, used to be 8-piece band at one point, so there's loads of them that have come and gone.
Yeah.
And I think he's trying to track down as many as he could from between 1978 and 1985, the imperial phase of Dexys. So that'll be a treat. Read a bit of that for a while. Put the snooker on at 1 p.m. Sat and watched some snooker. Went on my treadmill and did a 30-minute power walk
while watching
the snooker.
Very good.
Because if you're retired, exercise is an important part of the day.
Very important. Yeah, that's
you can't
a good
just
shift.
30, sit around.
30 mins on the treadmill is a very, very good shift, isn't it?
I would have done. It was a 30-minute frame that I was watching. I got off at the end of the frame. And then went back and sat down to watch the next frame. If it had been an hour-long frame, I'd have done an hour.
Oh.
Not a problem.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And then back to sit down and watch more snooker with a cup of tea and a nice big bit of Victoria sponge.
This is wonderful.
Entertainment cosplay.
Well, I saw an article in the Guardian newspaper a couple of days ago, which caught my eye. As we know, the Guardian has been becoming ever more deranged, which is something that we've been tracking. Not like heavily, but we like to just keep half an eye on just how deranged the Guardian is prepared to get.
It's a broad church, isn't it, the Guardian? And there's fringe elements of it are, as you said, deranged.
I would say that it's the deranged elements are becoming more and more prominent.
Like the majority.
For instance, like, I saw someone do a great tweet the other day, which just, you know, you see someone tweet something that was exactly what you were thinking anyway, but it's sort of like some, you didn't realise you were thinking until you saw it. And and it just said, "The Guardian are wildly overestimating how much of a fuck I give about the Garrick Club, right? Because I'd noticed that that they'd been leading every day on the fact that the Garrick Club was all men, right? Which is something that has been even if you don't know fuck all about what the Garrick Club is, anything to do, the Garrick Club seems to me to be something that is just fucking. I was just aware of the fact that it was a club for cunts and it was all men and it's just the ultimate example, as I sort of, what I assumed was just like a bunch of cunts sitting around smoking cigars, drinking brandies and sort of talking, just being cunts, right? Fine. Mm. That's their business, right? That's the point of a fucking club. And it's like all of a sudden the fucking Guardian have decided, bear in mind that the country is collapsing around our ears. There's war and famine and all sorts of shit going on. I mean, the planet's literally burning. And they're like, yeah, I think we should get stuck into these. You know that they're not allowing women into this club? This club in fucking Mayfair. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I fucking know that. Everyone knows that. What's your point? Well, it's disgusting, isn't it? Well, kind of, yeah, but it's just like, it's a club for men. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. Yeah, it's awful. It's not right. But I mean, so what? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that aside, I read this article and it was about, I thought, oh, hello, look, they've been listening to Top Flight Time Machine again, but they're late to the party. It was about people, it was mainly women, right? The case, I think it was all women who'd basically, in recent years, decided to drop out of the rat race and work out a way of living effectively the just rest lifestyle.
Oh, right.
By reducing their overheads, their requirements, right? Okay. So one woman had been burnt out working in the media in some capacity, I don't know what, in London. And she'd thought, you know what, fuck this. She explained how she'd got like a 10-year... She got a 10 grand pay rise 1 year. But after tax and with the cost of living crisis and her rent going up, she ended up $5,000 down on it, right? And she just thought, this is fucking mad.
Yeah.
And the new job that was a $10,000 pay rise required her to put more hours in as well. So it was when she realised that, she just thought, well, fuck this. And she quit and she went to live with her parents who lived out in the countryside in Wiltshire, and she paid them rent to live in the spare room. And she just went for really nice long walks every day in the countryside, and she made a bit of extra money by making jewellery, right? And I thought, oh, that sounds lovely, right? I thought, that sounds like she gave a really good life choice, right?
And is she waiting for the parents to die so she can inherit the house?
Probably, yeah. And do you know what, as well, when you talk or think about this stuff, especially in something like The Guardian, you kind of think, there's always a cunt waiting to tell you why, actually, you're very privileged and you're an arsehole for doing that, right?
I kind of just did.
There's always just someone, well, that's all right, right? But what I mean is that, well, isn't she lucky to have her parents with a spare room? Well, she is. Mm. But the principle is that she was working to an obscene extent for a diminishing return. Her life was unpleasant. You know, she was living in a flat share somewhere in the arse end in like a not pleasant part of London, whatever. And now she's living in the fucking woods and making jewellery, which is a lovely creative thing to do. She, you know, fuck it. And I don't. And what I've done is I've just simply reduced the amount that I fucking require from my life to make me happy. Wonderful. Anyway, the most important thing about what I'm telling you is, I mean, you can check out the article. But the most important part of this article is that I discovered a new term. I don't think they invented it for the article. They said that it's been sort of bandied around online. And it was this, Andy, the soft life. The Soft Life.
The Soft Life.
Yeah. And I thought, yes. Oh, I like this. The Soft Life.
Yeah.
For just softies. A gentle. It's for softies. And it's like a gentle way of living.
The because gentle living, touch.
Living is so hard, right? But it doesn't have... Yet someone has embraced the Soft Life, where it's simple.
Yes,
and instead of putting more
that.
Things into your life, you start removing things from it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You strip it down to the bare bones. And I think what you've just described is sort of adjunct to that, right? Adjacent to Soft Life, to retirement cosplay, the Just Rest lifestyle. All of these concepts are sort of aligning with each other, aren't they?
This was full on retirement cosplay. I could say this would be my lineup of a day when I'm 70.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, I said, that's me at 70. That's exactly what I'll do.
I tell you, I've been...
And I'll be very content, thank you very much.
I've been in the Isle of Wight, and when I'm in the Isle of Wight, it's a very popular place to retire to. And there's a lot of things that you find yourself doing that feel like retirement activities as well.
Pitch
right?
and put, that kind of thing.
Pitch and put. I've been on a steam railway this week.
Walls.
I've been for loads of walks in the woods. I've been to a donkey sanctuary. It's fucking full of garden centres, more garden centres than you can believe. All this brilliant stuff, right? Retirement stuff. But I tell you what I've got really into just over these last 2 weeks, something that I used to do once in a while, but now I've got into a daily ritual of doing it, The fucking crossword.
Yes!
And I wake up in the morning, since I started it, like my wife's always been a, like since she was really young, has been a crossword fanatic. She fucking loves it. And I'd be like, oh yeah, dead across the day, are you? You know, a bit fucking boring. That's what I probably would have been like in the past.
Cross nerd more like.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm so into it that the first thing I think when I wake up in the morning is, get on the fucking crossword. And I'm loving it. That, and there's a game that you can play for free on the New York Times website, which is probably called Connections.
Yeah.
Which is another little morning ritual. So I do Connections and that. Plus as well, mate, the age you and I are getting to, right, you have to keep the old mind. You have to work the brain like a muscle, don't you?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because, you know, either of us could go fucking like bananas at any point.
Words are important for us
they
doing
are.
This for
they
our
are.
Job.
So I thought it's time
so
to send
to
myself to brain gym.
Be good at words.
Good at wording things, and language stuff, and I thought right, so that's a great retirement thing because
I always buy a crossword book when I go on holiday. Oh. I buy it in the airport. I should have mentioned that when we were talking about airport airside.
Yeah, it's great airside.
I always
activity.
Buy a crossword book,
jumbo
for when
puzzle
I'm sitting
book.
Around.
But it's a great retirement. I mean, I would insert that into your retirement schedule. Other than that, I mean, obviously it's faultless, the schedule that you've outlined, but the only thing I'd add is you get a
crossword.
Paper or you go online, you do the crossword. Lovely, lovely stuff.
I think weather permitting, a bit of pottering in the garden as well could be inserted
little bit
in
of
there.
A potter about.
It's been very sedentary heavy. I've watched a lot of stuff. I've watched the snooker for a long while and the Steve Martin thing. Getting back to the Steve Martin thing, right? There's a lovely bit in it about how he met his current wife and she was a proofreader, fact checker. I think the New York Times that you've just spoken about.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he'd have to ring her up every time he'd write a piece for them and she'd ring him up. Sort of thing, and say like this bit's not right. This isn't right. We could change this. So there's ongoing long form conversation.
And he was already
thing.
Famous, right?
He was Steve Martin.
Yeah,
right,
he was
about 15
nice.
Years
this
ago,
is a nice
20
story,
years
yeah.
ago, maybe. He's full on Steve Martin. And eventually, he asked her along to a lunch that he was having with lots of other people.
Right.
And he asked her to come along to that, and she went along. And she's one of the people who always gets there early for things. So she said, I knew I'd be the first one there. So I took me New York Times crossword with me. Just getting back to what you've mentioned, New York Times crosswords. Mm. Weird cosmos shit. And she says, when I arrived there, Steve was already there doing the crossword.
Ah. Oh.
And it was kind of like, well, this is a thing here.
It was always going to happen, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the story, how they got together, basically.
Oh, what
lovely,
a beautiful
a
story.
A lovely part of a delightful documentary. So, crosswords.
That reminds me of a book that I can recommend that I read over Christmas called Romantic Comedy, called Curtis Sittenfeld. And sort of similar, it's about a normal crossing paths with a star and then them falling in love. And but in this book, Curtis Sittenfield is a great writer. She wrote another great book called Prep about years at a prep school, although it's not her, it's a novel. But anyway, it's a writer on the woman, the female protagonist is a writer on basically a Saturday Night Live style show. Mm. And Curtis Sittenfield did a huge amount of research, interviewing the likes of Tina Fey, etc., about what it's actually like working on those shows and the competitiveness that exists amongst the writers and stuff. And he, the male protagonist is a, or the male love interest is a famous but kind of cheesy mainstream rock star, right?
Right.
Huge singer-songwriter, but kind of cheesy. And he comes on as the guest host, and she has to write a sketch with him, and a love story develops. So it sounds corny and cheesy, but that story you just told me about them meeting through her being his fact checker is really similar to this, and it's very funny. She's a brilliant writer. It sounds like a corny pat sort of rom-com storyline, but she's a brilliant writer, so it's better than that.
He talks about his romantic kind of journey, travails.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time alone, kind of from being a stand-up and all that, and being in films and not having a home life kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he says at one point, tells a story about he went to a dinner party with a woman who he was dating at the time, and she was sitting next to Steven Spielberg at this dinner party. He says she was the kind of woman who always seemed to need to be in an argument.
I've known some women like that.
He says, and that's not my kind of vibe at all. And he says, we went to this dinner party, and afterwards we were driving home, and she said, why can't you be more like Steven Spielberg? And he says, and that was just the end of that.
Wonderful.
It's great. It's so good.
He's written novels. He's written novels, hasn't he? Martin.
He's written novels. Loads of the films he's been in, he's written. Elias Story, talking about romance and everything. Yeah. Elias Story's a brilliant romantic comedy.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Parenthood. There's so many stars in that, where he plays the dad in the extended family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Such a beautiful film, Parenthood. Brilliant Such film, a lovely, warm vibe about it. So. Mm. Loads of love for Steve.
I like the bit where they accidentally find his sister's dildo in when there's a power cut. Yeah. That's the best bit, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to read. You said earlier I'd seen a tweet, and it reminded me about a tweet that I've been laughing at with my daughter this week, because we've been talking about Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, yeah.
The Scorsese film that was on Netflix, I think. And loads of people, my daughter was saying, people she knows who've seen it complain about the length of it because it's 3.5 hours long. Yeah. It's not too fucking long. This is this tweet from someone called Dan Sheehan that we were laughing about. Killers of the Flower Moon is an incredible film. And I think if you bring up the runtime at all as a reason not to watch it, someone should bring you a little sailor suit to wear to the baby pageant. I love that so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
So we'll start awarding certain people sailor suits, maybe, going forward.
Sailor suits for the baby pageant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
So, where have you been? Isle of Wight.
Isle of Wight. Just talking quickly before I get stuck into that about awards. I had an idea while I was in the Isle of Wight. Because do you remember how you used to talk a lot about the lyrics to Rhinestone Cowboy, right?
Yes.
In fact, what is the specific lyric about, you know, that we thought kind of epitomised the very pinnacle of success as a human?
I'll get the exact lyric up here. Rhinestone Cowboy lyrics.
Yeah.
Because it's a specific line, isn't it? Like a rhinestone cowboy riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone cowboy getting cards and letters from people I don't even know.
Yeah.
And offers coming over the phone.
Offers coming over the phone, that's it. And so we went for a phase earlier on early in the pod where we would often, if anything good happened, we would go, oh, it's like a... In fact, when we had our first taste of success, if you can call it that, and all success is relative. All success is relative. So our when we got our first like £3 check from Acast in 2018 for selling what was presumably a millisecond piece of advertising space, right?
Yeah.
We were like, wow, like a rhinestone cowboy. So I was having a breakfast at the beachside cafe in Shanklin only yesterday, and I ordered.
And yet you're back home now doing this.
I know, it's
incredible.
Mad, isn't it? It's like we live in the future. And I said, we'll have four breakfasts and three veggie breakfasts, one full English with the works. My daughter's not veggie. She thinks we're ridiculous. Fair play to her. Right. The three veggie breakfasts come and the geezer puts one in front of my wife and one in front of my son. And they both come with two veggie sausages, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he comes over mine and he puts mine down and mine's got fucking three, mate. And
ooh,
I could see my son. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I thought sometimes I'm anti-sexism up to a point.
Yes.
Up to a point.
Yeah.
But sometimes when it just benefits me personally, it's really hard to push back against it.
Yeah.
When it involves extra sausage. And I was going to say something, and then he could see that we'd all noticed it straight away, and he went, that's a different type of sausage. We ran out of the usual sort. He went, these ones are a little bit smaller, that's why you got a third. I looked at it, I thought, they're marginally smaller.
He's smaller. Yeah. He's done this before.
They don't warrant a whole extra sausage. So I just suddenly found myself blurting like a rhinestone cowboy because I've got the third sausage. And I thought to myself, like a rhinestone cowboy is almost like a new award we should do if anyone lets us know about the little wins that they've had in their life. And I was thinking of other... Yeah. And I was also bragging to my... While we were looking, I was bragging to my family about an incident that happened to me many years before they had been my family. Because we were looking for someone to have breakfast, because the place that we'd headed for, the Isle of Wight is such a funny place. There was a place in a lovely town there called Ventnor that we were drawn to. There's a particular cafe that we like, that we always go to. It's kind of like a greasy spoon. And there's one road into Ventnor. Oh, God, there's going to be locals of the Isle of Wight get in touch with us and go, actually, there's another road to Ventnor. I understand it.
We call it the back road.
Yeah. There's one road into Ventnor. We're there all fucking getting geared up for this breakfast that we always have at least once when we're there in the Isle of Wight. We make this sort of pilgrimage to Ventnor to go to this place on the seafront and have a cooked breakfast. We've been driving already for half hour. Suddenly, on this fucking long, winding road, surrounded just by hills and valleys and all the rest of it, right? Very wild. There's just a red tape tied between two trees, and it just says road closed ahead, emergency.
Nowhere.
And you can't see why. There's no other vehicle around. There's no emergency services, nothing like that. but there is no way up this road, and that's it. That town is cut off for the foreseeable.
You don't even know the existence of the other road, which may or may not exist.
And I'm fucking starving. We drive around a bit, we look at maps, there's no other fucking road into this place. So we have to change tack and go, well, I'm fucking starving now, so we've got to find somewhere quick. And we're driving around, and I suddenly said to my wife, we're looking at different places. You know when you're driving, drive through little villages and towns, you slow down at certain places, is that open? Does that do breakfast? I said, have you ever convinced a non-breakfast cafe to make you breakfast? And she was like, no, I haven't, but I've got a feeling you have, and that's why you framed the question. I went, yeah, I fucking have.
Yeah, it sounds like a loaded question. Yeah.
And I fucking, and
guess
I,
who has.
It all came flooding back. Yeah, guess who has? This cunt.
He's right. Got two thumbs and once convinced a non-breakfast cafe to make a breakfast. Hey!
This cunt. This fucking, it was the early 90s. My Italian cousins came over. It was Christmas, New Year time. And they came over with a couple of their mates from Rome. And we were taking them out. Me and my brother were taking them for a day out of West Ham, right? And they wanted these two lads from Rome. They'd never been to London before, never been to an English football match. They wanted the full experience. And we go, what do you mean? And they're going, well, we want to start with the disgusting, greasy English, full English, right? We want to go for the full English, then we go for the beers in the pub.
20 pints of beer, or then, vomit in the street.
Then we go to the game, it's very rain and cold and muddy, and the football, it's how you say shit, right?
Because we have a fight.
This is when Serie A was good and English football was shit. Then we have a fight, then we take the cocaine, right, et cetera, right? And we went, yeah, no problem. Okay, that's fine. The only bit was, oh, okay. English breakfast. It was New Year's Day, I think, or it was some sort of bank holiday, because we went to the cafe where me and my brother thought we'll take them to the Greasy Spoon, and it was fucking shut. And the only place around midday that was open was a chippy, right? So we go into the chippy, and we're like, the pressure's on here. We've promised these geezers a proper fucking English feed up, right? And they're hungry too. They want to line their stomach for a serious day of drinking. We walked in and we said to the bloke, we said, wait out here. They didn't know the difference, right? Whether it was a chippy, a calf, whatever. They just think, look at this disgusting place that smells of oil, right? That's like all English places to eat. We go, listen, mate, we got a problem here. Do you do breakfast? They go, no, we don't do breakfast. This is a chippy. What are you talking about? We do fish and chips. We go, listen, right, we got a problem here. We got some mates over from Italy. We promised them a fucking full English. The calf's shut. We haven't got time to fucking go anywhere else. You got sausages, you got chips, you got our fucking baked beans lying around somewhere. Yeah. Send someone out to get fucking half a dozen eggs, yeah? Money's money. Effectively, we're going to pay you for chips, sausages, beans, and you're going to buy some eggs and we're going to chuck in some extra money for them. I said, there's fucking six of us out there. There's us two and there's four fucking greedy Italians, right? My two cousins and the two mates. I said... Yeah, you got to fucking get us out of a hole. It's a win-win for you. All you got to do is send some cunt out to buy eggs. I said, I'll go and buy the fucking eggs myself. Yeah. I'll bring them to you. All you have to do is cook them. He's gone, wait there. He's gone back and had a really, like, confab back and forth with the fucking gaffer of this chippy out the back. And finally, and the Italians are outside going, what is happening? We are hungry. We are hungry. He's finally come out. And he's gone, all right. And he's nodded to a table. And I said, come in. And we've sat down. And, like, sure enough, 15 minutes later, out they come with six, as Roy would say, steaming hot plates of fucking food. Now, it wasn't exactly how you would imagine the classic fryer, because it was one of those long chip shop sausages, right? I mean, maybe someone got a Savoy, although I wouldn't have complained about a Savoy and egg and chips and baked beans.
Year's dear.
Sounds delicious.
That's exactly what you need.
Anyway, I said to my wife, my daughter had her headphones in. She wasn't interested. My son was pretty impressed. My wife was like skeptical, like, did this happen? I'm going, call my brother. Call Dom, ask him. He'll fucking tell you. He'll remember. Call the fucking Italians. Call the Italians in Rome. They'll remember. We talked. That was the day we talked a chip shop into making us a full English breakfast off menu. That is like a rhinestone cowboy, right?
Yeah.
It is. And I was thinking, my other one happened quite recently. We were in a cafe Nero, my daughter and I ordered a coffee and she ordered a hot chocolate. And when the hot chocolate came, it didn't have the whipped cream on, right? Because apparently you got asked for that, and she thought it came as standard. And that's a treat when you take your daughter out for a hot chocolate. She wants the whipped cream. So she was a bit, you know what, Tina? I said, oh, don't ask. I don't want to make a fuss. Don't embarrass me. I said, never mind about that. Sit down over there. I'll deal with this. I won't embarrass you. Sits down. I've gone to Keys. I said, listen, mate, she wanted cream on that. I know it's a bit late, but is there anything you can do? I don't mind paying. And he was a nice guy. Went, oh, I'm so sorry. I should have asked. Don't worry about it. So he goes, I said, shall I go and get her hot chocolate? He went, no. Wait there. Do you know what he did? He got a cup, but you know, like, they call it the venti, don't they? You know, they have medium, large, and they have venti, which is the big cunt, right?
Yeah.
He got a venti cup, and then he got the big fucking thing of cream, you know, the squirty thing. But it's not like the one you get from the supermarket. It's the industrial one, isn't it? That's like metal. Massive. It's metal, and it's 2 foot tall. He fucking got it out, right? And he filled the whole venti cup with fucking cream and then just handed it to me. He handed me like a fucking litre of cream. And I walked over to the table. I was holding it up like I'd won the fucking FA Cup, mate. I was like, my daughter couldn't believe it. She got a spoon and spooned half of it onto her hot chocolate.
And did you get the rest?
Guess who ate the rest of the cream direct from the fucking cup with a spoon? Like a rhinestone cowboy.
A half litre of cream.
Yeah. And he didn't charge me for it because he felt bad that he hadn't asked about the cream.
Yeah, yeah.
So these are, I thought, oh, it's quite an interesting little thing. Don't send in too many, listeners. I know that's a weird thing to say, but if you've got anything that you think qualifies you as a rhinestone cowboy, any incidents of that, they don't have to even be food related. Just any little victory like that that has made you feel like a fucking superstar, like King Kong himself.
Top flight time machine. Topflytimemachine@gmail.com. While we're talking about lyrics, can I just... I meant to talk about this a while ago. I was watching Top of the Pops repeat, and it was the best of 1971. It's the one they showed on Christmas Day, I think, with all the best songs of 1971. And there was a stark contrast in the attitude of lyrics in two of the songs that I like, both of them. First one was Maggie May by Rod Stewart.
Mm.
And when you have a proper listen to it, the lyrics are pretty horrible. He's this young kid who's...
Well, he's been seduced by an older woman, hasn't he?
Or being seduced by an older woman. Wake up, Maggie, I think I've got something to say to you. It's late September and I really should be back at school. Yeah. I know I keep you amused, but I feel I'm being used. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore. Next line. The morning sun, when it's in your face, really shows your age.
Ooh.
Fucking hell, Rod. But that don't worry me none. In my eyes, you're everything. I laughed at all of your jokes. You didn't need the coax. All I needed was a friend to lend a guiding hand.
Ooh.
But you turned into a lover and a mother. What a lover. You wore me out. All you did was wreck my bed and in the morning kick me in the head.
Fucking
and
hell.
It's pretty horrible. It's pretty horrible.
It doesn't
paint
a picture of a nice incident, really. A nice romance. I mean... superficially, you think, oh, yeah, that's nice. I wouldn't have minded being seduced by an older woman when I was young. But careful what you wish for because, you know, Rod didn't have a nice experience. Although I don't think he wrote the lyrics to that song.
Well, I don't think he did, but he sat down and he sang them. But then
so what you're saying is he's complicit in the whole thing.
He's culpable.
Yeah, he is. He's culpable.
And then the other song, which is a completely different attitude towards women, because we're anti-sexism.
We are.
We've established that.
Unless it involves extra sausages. Yeah.
The other song was Slade, Because I Love You.
Oh, yeah.
And listen to this. I won't laugh at you when you boo-hoo-hoo, because I love you.
No.
I can turn my back on the things you lack, because I love you.
Oh.
I just like the things you do. Don't you change the things you do. You get me in a spot and smile the smile you got, and I love you. You make me out a clown and you put me down. I still love you. It goes on and on and on like that.
Wow,
and
that is beautiful.
I just thought the contrast. It is. Because so
simple,
many lyrics.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah. So many lyrics that are written by and sung by men in that era are horrible. They haven't dated well at all. They're fucking horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was a contrast I know.
And who wrote that?
Lyrics.
Would that have been Noddy wrote that?
That'll have been Noddy and probably Dave Hill. Dave Hill, of course, who moved into a house next door to a girls' school. But
very
poetic. With the money that he made from that song there. So, you know, it's yin and yang. It's complicated.
I think that's just
Can we talk about your Isle of Wight antics in the next episode? Because we've kind of...
Shall I give the headline or not? Or shall we just keep up the pattern? Well, as the text I sent you earlier summed it up. I said, since I last spoke to you, Andy, I've puked in a car park toilet and adopted a donkey. So tune in next time to hear more details on those two incidents.
We'll put them right at the top of the next episode. We've got to do some predictions.
Yeah.
We didn't make public the predictions we did last time because we did them on the live video stream thing that we do.
Yeah.
Beforehand. So some people will have seen the predictions. Some won't have. In short, you got 2, I got 2, Resultsbot got 3. So you're 105, Resultsbot 100, I'm on 91.
Yeah.
So here we go with this weekend's predictions, and we start with Everton versus Burnley.
Interesting game, this one.
What do you think?
I'm going to say Everton 2, Burnley 0.
It's Dyche versus Dyche's old club, and I think it feels like a 1-0 to Everton.
Yeah.
Aston Villa versus Brentford. 3-0 to Aston Villa, I think.
Oh, wow. I'll say 3-1. Villa.
Okay. On to our own teams. Wolverhampton Wanderers versus West Ham.
I'll say Wolves... 2, West Ham 3.
Oh, I like it. Bold. I'll go the other way. I'll say 3-2 to Wolves.
Okay.
Sorry. Beleaguered Sunderland versus Bristol City. I think this will finish... God, Jesus Christ. 2-1 to Bristol City.
I'll say... 1-0 to Bristol City.
Can I change my prediction? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
I think Sunderland will win it 2-1. I've just remembered the Jack Clarke's fit again.
Okay.
And Fulham versus Newcastle is Resultsbot team of choice.
Fulham versus Newcastle. I think this will be 2-2.
That's what I think as well, Sam. 2-2. A Desmond. All right, so that's the episode, that's the predictions. The weekend lies in front of us. Hopefully we can do lots more just resting, a bit more retirement cosplay. A
bit more soft life.
Soft life, that was it. And we can all look forward to a donkey adoption anecdote on Monday.
Yeah.
Or Sunday evening if you're IFS.
Exactly.
So there we go. Thank you very much for listening, and that's that.
That's that.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.